Attention all passengers. The Uber ride for Mark and Jamal's romantic weekend will depart in 4 minutes from Platform 6. Your ride comes with a rolling countryside sunset view and a table seat ideal for playing footsie beneath. Thank you for booking your tickets on Uber.
Trains on Uber.
So why do people keep repeating the same behaviors even when they desperately want to change? So today we're talking about the hidden reason your body pulls you back into familiar emotions, reactions, and patterns, even when your mind wants something completely different. Welcome back to the show. Today, Brian Osborne is back with us to dive into one of the biggest struggles people face, staying stuck in the same cycles, habits, and emotional patterns, even after deciding they want to change. Brian teaches that this is not simply about discipline or motivation, it's about conditioning. So the body becomes familiar with certain emotional states and begins pulling us back into what feels known, even when it's unhealthy. So today we're going to unpack why that happens and how people can finally begin breaking those patterns for good. It's really good to have you back, Brian. Thanks so much for being here today.
Great to be back.
I feel like this is triggering me a little bit because this literally happened to me this morning. I was like, I'm going to get up super early today and go for a walk and get a workout in. And 8:30 a.m. I got out of bed and I didn't do what I was trying to do. But I think it's difficult for a lot of people to change. Why is that? Why do people keep going back to their same behaviors even after they've decided they wanted something else?
You know, the main thing is the system. It's not anything to do with the brain or your thoughts or anything like that. It's all about the system and what it's used to doing, what it's practiced, and just overall, just what you're used to doing. So when you wake up and you have intention to go for a walk and work out in the morning, but your body's not used to doing that, your system's going to fight it, despite your alarm going off that early. But your system is going, nope, this isn't what we do. Go back to bed because this is not what we do. You can say it all you want, but if your system's not used to it, you're not going to do it. And then you're just going to follow right back into the patterns. And it's the one of the hardest things to do, but also the easiest once you truly understand it.
Interesting. So you also say that the body becomes conditioned to familiar emotional states. How does that tie into this?
So everything is not based upon words, despite what others may believe. The words have really nothing to do with anything. It's more so the emotional tone that was attached to it. So if you want to get up early and start working out, but you use the same tone as you're going to go ahead and load the dishwasher, your body's not going to believe that tone, that emotional tone attached to it, because it's the same sound, the same emotion that it's used to feeling. So if you're sitting there saying, I'm not going to watch TV anymore, I'm going to get up early, but it's the same thing you say that I'm not going to wait till my car's on E to fill it up, it's the same aspect. So the emotional tone with it plays a bigger part of it than most people even realize. Because at a young age, from 0 to 7, you don't remember anything that people actually told you, but you remember the emotional tones that came with it. So that emotional tone is also going to help you break or create a new habit.
Right. So it's like almost like Pavlov's dog, right? The salivating dog. You hear something and it's like a familiar emotion and tone, and then you act accordingly. So then would awareness be the first piece to this?
Awareness is always the first step, because you can't fix something unless you are aware of it, right? You're not going to fix a pipe in your house unless you knew it was leaking. You're not going to change the electricity in your house unless you know that outlet's not working, right? That awareness of the problem and how it all works is the first step on breaking anything or fixing anything, is having that awareness. So once you have that awareness and where it, one, originated from, two, how your system actually works, three, when you get into brain waves and how all that entitles with it, with the emotional tone and how those looping patterns begin, that's all awareness. Once you understand that, that's when you could start actually fixing that habit. But until you actually have that awareness, that knowledge, that understanding of what's actually going on that you cannot see, that's when everything begins to change.
Right. And it's interesting because stress and anxiety and chaos, even like the painful emotions, they can feel normal, right? And that's super interesting. It's like, it's almost like comforting because it's normal, even though it doesn't feel right. Why is that the case?
So when you feel that tightness in your chest and that turning in your stomach, that's the brain summarizes it as anxiety. And that's what the brain actually named that sensation. And it caught on, and that's what everybody calls it now. But all that really is just breaking that habit and just getting out of that comfort zone because your body doesn't know what to do. So all that emotional tone, that emotional energy, that chemical cocktail that your brain releases is just surging all throughout your body. And it creates that sensation that our brain summarizes as anxiety or stress or fear, thinking that something's going to go wrong because it's not normal for what is thinking. So if somebody's used to living in chaos where something's always wrong, something has to be wrong and everything start going right, they'll literally start creating things to go wrong because it doesn't feel natural and the body craves that emotional hit. So in theory, the emotional states that your body craves within the nervous system is similar to an addict craving a hit. Your body just craves the same emotional hit and it'll do everything in its power to get that emotional hit.
Right. That makes so much sense. Is that why some people start like sabotaging progress right away? Like even when things start improving, like I feel like people make improvements, but then they go back to their old ways.
Self-sabotage is the addiction to the similar chemical cocktail that your body is so used to. And if you don't have the awareness of what's going on in your body, you will always revert back to what is known, what feels good to your body. The body, the nervous system, doesn't care if it's happiness, doesn't care if it's stress, sadness, whatever you want to call it. It doesn't care. All it wants to do is feel normal. So the longer you stay in that state, the more it becomes normal. And then your body craves what's normal, what feels good, what gives it that high in which it needs.
Right. So then why does willpower only work temporarily?
Willpower is similar to motivation because willpower and motivation all triggers that chemical within your brain to override the system. But it all fades over time because the nervous system always wins. Mm-hmm. So people join seminars, people join and watch all these movies and podcast series. And I personally love Gaia. So I watch all those. And you get this dopamine hit, that motivation, where it courses through your body. It's like, yeah, I like this hit because we're so used to getting that hit. But then it flushes out of your system and it's no longer there. Well, if that's no longer there, it's going to go back to the old way in which it craves.
Right.
Same thing with willpower. You could try to will your system to change something, but it only lasts for so long because the body is flushing out what's not used to. So once your body flushes out that willpower in 3 days, or that dopamine hit in 3 days, well, then what? Well, then you go back to your old patterns, your old emotional state, your old just straight looping patterns. And that's why people can get so motivated to do something. And I see it all the time and just fall right back to where they were because they don't have that awareness of what it exactly is going on in their body.
Yeah. So then what is happening internally when someone says, like, I know what I should do, but then they still don't do it? And then I can totally relate to being at one of those seminars and, you know, being at a weekend retreat and you leave and you feel so inspired and so motivated. And then a week later, it's like your body and brain forget about all of that. Unless you like set up structured systems like we talked about a little bit today and in previous episodes. And so I'd highly recommend you guys go back and listen to those because there needs to be a change in order for change to occur, right? But what is happening internally when we're struggling with that change?
One word, environment. Environment dictates your behavior. So when people go away to a seminar, they get inspired. They listen to all these great stories, the products, the information, the meet and greets. But the minute you get home, your system realizes what's surrounding you, notices the environment and goes, I know this environment. Let's go back to watching TV because it's just the environment, which is why I always tell people, and I do it myself every 6 months, I change my environment. I either paint, move furniture around, just to change the habits. Because if it's no longer there, your body can no longer do it. So I change everything in my house just to erase the old habits that weren't working and to be able to create new ones. It's like going on a vacation where you're nice and relaxed. You don't want to go home. And then you're like, the body goes, all right, I'm done with vacation. We can go back to our old habits now. Then you go home and you're like, it's going to be different. I feel relaxed. And within 3 days, you're back to your normal routine as if vacation never even happened. Because the environment dictates and signals your brain to release that chemical into your body, which then creates the habit. That's why everybody has the same work routines. That's why people have the same home routines, the same car routines, the same route. Everything's on autopilot unless you change the actual environment in which your body's used to seeing.
Right. A lot of people, I feel, blame it on like personality. Like they're struggling to change, but they're like, oh, that's just the way I am. You know, I was born that way. I'm lazy. They accept their way or use that as an excuse, as a personality trait versus conditioning.
Right. And then people often call their loops and their habits a personality.
Yeah.
So people that doom scroll, and the only way to break it is to actually allow your body to release that personality. But the body doesn't want to do it because it's, for lack of a better word, it's, you know, I don't want to use that word because I don't know how this whole process works, but it's basically making that personality no longer alive in order to replace it with a new personality. So the body is not willing to lose that personality because you will, when it's a big habit, you will go through a grieving process once you release that old personality because it's a part of you. It's who you are. It's what you're familiar with. So people don't realize that, and the body will do everything to keep that personality, that habit, that routine, whatever somebody wants to call it. It'll do everything in its power, especially in the beta brainwaves, because it's designed to protect, to survive, to defend. So it's always going to fight back to keep that thing, that habit, that personality, that alive.
What are some tips to motivate the self to want to change?
Not to motivate oneself. It's understanding the system and how it works within the brainwaves and understanding that the nightly routine, that your next day starts the night before. So your tomorrow starts tonight, and going to bed within the brainwaves to change said personality is more important than your morning routine. Everybody talks so much about morning routines. Your body's already awake because what you fall asleep to, that emotional state that you fall asleep in, is how you wake up. Mm-hmm. So if you wake up in a different state, your body's going to react differently. You might go a different way to work. You might actually get up and start working out that day, but it's keeping a consistent 10 minutes before you go to bed, nightly routine, not sitting there scrolling on your phone, getting that dopamine hit when you fall asleep while on your phone. That's going to hurt you because as soon as you wake up, boom, I want that dopamine hit. And you're going to reach right for your phone. But if you put the phone down, and I do custom meditations to help people break their habits, to have that routine and listening to that while you fall asleep is a absolute game changer. And it has changed my life 180 degrees where I didn't even know about nightly routine. But the way that I structure it now can help anybody break any habit.
That's interesting. I typically listen to meditation before bed as well. I don't like to watch a screen. I used to, but I just noticed that I was staying up later and I was just feeling awful. Like I was having a hard time falling asleep. And I even started recording myself in certain aspects, reprogramming my own mind. But sometimes I just listen to like a really relaxing meditation. And maybe that's why I'm waking up and I'm so relaxed and wanted to stay in bed.
Right. And that's the key too. It's also the emotional tone attached to it. So if you record yourself for a meditation, you have to do it in a different tone to actually get yourself into a new frequency, a new emotional state, because emotions, believe it or not, is just energy in motion. That's all emotions is just energy in motion. So how you fall asleep is how your body is programming your nervous system while you sleep. And before you even open up your eyes, your nervous system's already wide awake, going right through that emotional state, that emotional cocktail within your body. And that energy is just flowing through your body. And you're just going to go through your way. But going to sleep in that state. So if somebody records on what they want and go to bed, do it in a tone that actually feels like that individual that you're trying to become. Because if right. you just do it in your normal tone, it's not going to work.
Right. So I was just going to ask you about the nervous system. What role does the nervous system play in keeping people stuck?
The nervous system is everything. That's why, like, look at athletes. Look at people trying to catch a baseball or hit a home run. They don't look at their hands saying, I need to swing now. It just goes through the motions. They don't put their glove up in the air and go, all right, I'm going to put it right here. No, they just do it because it's just habit to them. They don't have to think about it. They just do it. That's your nervous system. Your nervous system controls 95% of your day. Your brain just summarizes what the body's doing. That's it. Your body, literally, your nervous system wakes up and just activates everything and goes, okay, this is what we're going to do now. This is what we're going to do now. This is what we're going to do now. Ooh, that's new. No, I don't like that. Go back this way. And it'll just keep you exactly in the same loop that it does every single day. Think of it this way. So when an individual is going stressed out and overwhelmed, they just have too many browsers open in the background, which is slowing them down. But those browsers are all the tasks that your body's used to seeing unfinished. So when you sit there and you look at it going, I still need to finish that. But then you see something in the corner of your eye going, oh, I need to do that first. Then you see something else and then you do that. And it's just constant tabs just being open and not finished. And it just slows down your system. By the end of the day, you just feel what the brain calls a burnt out. But it's really just too many tabs open. Because a lot of that has to do with the ADHD as well. And why people have that is just too many open tabs and too many unfinished projects.
Right. The inability to sit still and process. Yeah, someone stuck in fight or flight, they're going to have a very different experience than someone whose nervous system is calm. That's definitely for sure. And someone stuck in fight or flight will have a really, really difficult time changing because they're going to be so, their nervous system would need healing first is basically what I'm getting at, in my opinion. Anyway, I know for me, if I'm highly stressed, I need to focus on that before I focus on doing anything else.
Yeah, because there's a lot of people and I was against it in the beginning until I actually did it, but mentorship is one of the best things to have due to the fact that when your emotional state gets to a breaking point, think of it as static electricity. So when you're trying to break a habit and you're in that fight or flight mode and you cannot release that energy and your system's all clogged up and doesn't know what to do with it, it's like rubbing your feet along carpet. And then once you hit that doorknob, you get shocked. It's the same thing when you can't release that energy. It's when you're shoving your feet back and forth. Somebody says something, wasn't what they said, but you explode on that individual. And then you go, I didn't mean to say that. I didn't mean to do that. You didn't. That was just your emotional energy just pent up and it just exploded like static electricity touching a doorknob.
Right.
But having a mentor that has the awareness and understanding and can break through it, who you can vent to, most of those individuals, they release it all. And next thing you know, they're living a better life.
Absolutely. Even writing stuff down, getting it out on paper, if you want to write it down and burn it. But yeah, pent up emotions are, like you said, explosive for sure. Like someone who freaks out over the littlest thing, it's never about the little thing that happens. There's always so much more. That's why I always have a lot of patience for people. If they do kind of have an episode where they lose control, I always just calmly ask them if everything is okay. I think the awareness of that piece is really helpful too for our own nervous system and our own mental health to understand that when someone loses it or gets really upset at us, it's never really about us. It's something much deeper than that. Knowing that has helped me in so many ways, just understanding people and not taking things personally when someone else reacts. Because you're right, everything is internal. How we perceive our world is a reflection of our internal state. And so if we're not dealing with the things on the inside, we're not going to deal with things on the outside really well at all.
Yeah, because everything on the outside is a reflection of the inside, like you said. And the only thing that I tell people to do first thing is work on your patience, because everything takes time. You don't know how long it's going to take, but it's going to take time. And you need to have those patience, which back in the day, it used to be, you know, nobody had any common sense, but today's all about patience. You have to allow your body to do the nervous system to do its thing to help you better, to become a better person. But if you don't have that patience to allow your body to work its system out, you're never going to change. But it's all about having that patience and allow your body to do its job.
How much of behavior is already unconscious, or is most of it unconscious?
95% of your day is just on autopilot. No thought, no nothing. You don't even remember half your day when you go through it. Mm-hmm. When you drove to work today, did you remember your ride, your thoughts, your what you were listening to? Probably not, because you were just on autopilot. You could be completely shut down. You could probably close your eyes and do it the same way, because you don't need it, because your body just goes through the motions. 95% of your day, that other 5% is wide open for change. And that 5% is when you go to bed at night and when you wake up in the morning. That's your 5% window to change, because the rest of the day, you're all just on autopilot. You have no control over anything. It just happens. And it's all about patience and just timing. Changes everything.
So can you give us some examples of common emotional loops that people unknowingly live in every day? Just so maybe the audience can relate to some of these things.
Yeah, I will say the first one, which is going to be a lot of trigger points, because this is the individuals that I've been working with recently, is anxiety and ADHD. Those are two big factors that seem to correlate with one another that people think they have, but the medication that they're on, whether it's too expensive or they don't think it works or you have side effects. The thing with that is that you're treating the symptoms and not the system. So the first thing I tell them is I don't look at your symptoms. I look at your system and what is causing all of what you're going through. So when it comes to those particular items, a lot of it is all system related, that your system is just not regulating correctly. And it could have been childhood trauma. It could have been that childhood emotional state, like how we went over last video about you being afraid of heights and how you remembered that tree that you and your brother used to climb up and how your mom or dad always said, hey, don't go up there. You're going to get hurt. And then you become a fear of heights, right? That's the system that was generating it. So when it comes to anxiety and ADHD, it's understanding how your system's going and how to find that release that you need to get all that energy out, and learning how to finish a project and how to change your mind and make those decisions to actually ease those symptoms that you are having. Now, I'm not saying it's a cure by any means, but it will reduce the symptoms in which you are doing once you understand the system and you can actually understand what is actually going on in your body and where it came from in order to generate said anxiety or said ADHD.
Right. I know that the medication does treat symptoms, but I think what people are becoming better at now, and there's more awareness of, is the individuality of every single human being. And so now people are being encouraged to be more like themselves, even in workplace environments. I feel like leaders are trying to understand their employees in more of a human way. I'm recognizing how people work, when people work best. You know, some people need to finish all of their creative work in the morning, or other people are more creative in the afternoon. So I think really embracing your individuality is really important as well, versus trying to just kind of blend in with status quo. And I think it's becoming more accepted now. And that's what people are wanting, to understand themselves better, which I think in turn would help with all of these things, including the anxiety and you know, the ADHD-like symptoms. Those are a few terms that have been thrown around, I feel like, a little carelessly over the past few years. Like, it's like all of a sudden everybody has ADHD. And I'm like, what's going on? You know, I think it's just a label for something that people struggle with.
Absolutely. And to touch on your leadership aspect, as far as what individuals are looking for, I actually do a leadwithbrian.com that I actually teach leaders how to not lead people, but lead patterns, and help leaders understand that each individual is different. They're not numbers on a spreadsheet. That they all have different personalities. You just need to understand them, who they are, what they're good at, and help them succeed. Not that they're underperforming, but things happen there. And to have that understanding, especially as a leader, to help individuals that suffer from ADHD and anxiety is a huge part of having a happy work culture and environment. Mm-hmm. So if anybody's listening, let me know about the company. I will reach out to them personally and help their leaders as well. But to have that understanding that you're leading patterns and not people is great in the workforce, but also understanding yourself, knowing that you're not leading a body or a person, you're leading your personality, you're leading your nervous system, you're leading your patterns. Mm-hmm. So that all comes full circle within it, whether you're leading others or you're just leading yourself or a family. So like I said in the last episode, I'm starting to create these what I call beta blocks to help you interrupt your patterns in the beta brainwaves to actually give you a command to finish the tasks throughout your house. So this way you don't have to worry about it. You could just read it and go, whoop, yep, let me create this. Let me finish it. I know what's going on in my body. The task is now done. I can close that browser and I can go do other things. And then it becomes a habit. And then you don't even need the beta blockers anymore. But those are important parts to get yourself middle of the day to break a habit while your brain's just pure defensive.
Can you explain a little bit more of what a beta blocker is?
So a beta blocker is, for lack of a better term, just, you know, those inspirational quotes on a piece of block that says, you know, live, laugh, love. But these are actual commands within your body that needs those commands in order to break it. So it'll be like, you know, where my remotes are. I have one that says, this is where you usually quit. Don't. So every time I go reach for the remote, I'm like, this is usually where I quit. Nope, not going to do it. Let me go finish what I need to finish. And then I can watch it. Or in the kitchen, don't drop it or you're going to see it later. So then I know to load the dishwasher instead. I also have the same one at my drop zone area because you're going to have to move it later. So I always have it there sitting there going, hey, don't drop it. You're going to see it later. Or finish it now so you don't have to later. Right. So it's just those little reminders, those commands that are going, yep, and makes your brain go, nope, that's interrupting my loop. What do I do? And it freezes the system going, what? And then you have to just make the decision to just do it. And then eventually it becomes a habit. And you don't have to think about it anymore.
Yeah. I was just going to ask how much repetition is necessary when in terms of rewiring behavior?
I've seen results as early as 6 weeks for it to actually become a habit where you don't even look at it anymore, but the area remains the same as if it was there.
Right.
I've seen people do it in 12 weeks. But at the same time, it's just that brainwave state to interrupt it, to lock it, to freeze it going, no, I don't know what to do now because it's out of the ordinary. It's like when people see new signs or new billboards, you know, where you're like, oh, I never noticed that before. Same concept, but this time it's giving yourself a command going, finish it, because if not, you're going to see it later. Or this is where you usually quit.
Right. I've been experimenting with alter egos lately, and it's a similar concept, but a little bit different, of creating who I want to be in certain aspects of myself. And so it's like creating a character and then channeling that character when I need her. So if I'm, for example, for some reason, feeling anxious or like not very confident, or if I'm just not on my game, I can channel this alter ego and bring in those aspects. And since I've been doing that, I've just noticed that I'm becoming those aspects. And so by repeating this action, it's just becoming part of me. And so it's really opened up my mind to, wow, I can really be anything I want to be, right? It's a matter of that awareness and being really specific. Like, you can't just say, I don't want to be anxious anymore. You have to make a plan and be really specific in what you want. It's one thing to want to be healthy and feel good and not struggle with mental health or be rich, but okay, how are you going to get to the other side? And things being really specific is another key part in all of this.
Well, you nailed it on the head. Is the second step is repetition, because that's what creates a habit. It's all about the repetition and how your body feels doing it. The third part is writing down exactly what you want. So for example, if people write down, you know, I want to hit the lottery, and you go out and you get a scratch off ticket for $2 and you scratch it off and you won $4. Well, guess what? Technically you won the lottery.
Right.
Right? It's not direct enough. It's not exactly what you want. And then people sit there and people want to start a business for time freedom. Well, you'll get time freedom, but you forgot the money portion of it. You also want to be financially free, right? So you actually have to know exactly what you want, which most people don't know what they want. But once you figure out what you want, that's when you actually have to write down exactly what you want. And I'm not talking about, you know, I want $2,391.14, but I think as far as what you truly want. So let's say the big one that I always hear, which I always tell people not to put, is I want to be debt free. It's the worst thing you could do. Don't put debt in there, because now your body's going to create, wants to attract debt. But instead, right, I want financial freedom. And then define what financial freedom means to you. Do you mean paid off mortgage? Do you mean to go out and buy whatever you want, whenever you want, and not have to worry about it? Is it having new cars? You have to define yourself on what each word in that statement means. Webster does not own the rights to every definition. Create your own. I have people create what success means to them, what each word means to them, what leadership means to them, and understand that you can create your own definition, because when you use that word, it's going to mean something more, because that's the emotional state that your body's going to release into your body, into your nervous system. So you have to be able to generate that particular definition to create the feeling that you want.
I agree 100%. I 100% agree with that. Brian, this has been such an insightful episode. I think we covered so much important points in the terms of change. What is one or two or three practical things that people can start doing today to interrupt their emotional autopilot that they live every day? And speak to the ones who are maybe a little overwhelmed.
Start with your nightly routine. See what you do at night before you go to bed. Going to be a big factor, because that 5% activates the other 95%. So the nightly routine is number one. Number two, if you're up to it, take a day and start putting a fresh coat of paint or a new paint in your house and change the environment, because you're going to see it all clean, ready to go, and it's going to change a lot of things. And if you really want to interrupt the patterns midday, leave sticky notes out. Write a command and give yourself in those locations, piece of paper, whatever it may be, and just leave them in those locations to interrupt your behaviors midday. If you do those three things, you will start to begin to see the changes. But those are three things that I always have people address: is nightly routine, changing the environment, and having those beta blocks somewhere where you can see to interrupt those actual behaviors.
I love those tips. Those are gold. I really think that that's so helpful, like especially changing the environment, just making things a little bit different. We all have cleaned our homes and have felt just so good after. It's so rewarding. And one thing I will add is perhaps like starting to write down three things you accomplished, three things you're proud of every single day. I know I did that last year and I was feeling crappy. And I went back and I looked at all of my achievements from the year before. And I was like, all right, I'm doing pretty good for myself here. And I'm not talking about big things. I'm talking about little things, like cleaning my space and just like little things that really add up. And so I feel like repetition also increases confidence. And confidence isn't something we're born with. It's something that we built on our own. So that's another thing that I want people to understand, is you have to work towards it.
And what I would say with writing it down is write yourself a letter and date it 1 year from today. Write down everything that you want, everything you want to accomplish, write it down and put it somewhere. In a year's time, open it up, because you're either going to see two things. One, you've accomplished what you wanted to accomplish, or two, going, wow, I have really grown. I can't believe I wanted that back then. That's actually not what I wanted. This is actually what I'm going to go for now. And you can actually see your growth 1 year later. And I tell people to do that at the beginning of the year, but your year can start today. Doesn't have to be January 1st. Your year could start today. Write yourself a note saying what you want to accomplish.
There are no rules. We make our own rules.
Yep. Somebody made New Year's a big day, but it's not. Any days. You can start physical years any year, any day.
I agree. Well, Brian, thank you so much for being here and for the work that you do. I think it's really amazing that you're helping people change their lives. And that program for companies and businesses is amazing too, because I think leadership awareness is a big piece in that. Yeah, when leaders are aware of their employees as individuals, it makes all the difference. So it's such important work that you're doing. Thanks so much for showing up today and for giving such great advice.
Thank you for having me. I'm enjoying this.
Yeah, so much fun. And to our audience, thank you so much for tuning in. This was such an eye-opening conversation because I think so many people blame themselves for patterns that they don't fully understand. So Brian reminded us today that lasting change isn't about shaming yourself into becoming someone different. It's about understanding the conditioning that's been running in the background and learning how to create new patterns that actually support the life that you want. So to learn more about Brian Osborne and Interior Design Your Mind, check out the links in the show notes. And we'll also link his website so you can learn more about the program that he runs for businesses and companies. And if this episode resonated with you and you think it might help someone else, please send it to them. And if you have any comments for us, leave them below and we will get back to you as soon as possible. Thanks again, and we can't wait to see you next time. Bye, everyone.